Galatians chapter number 2 in the New Testament, page 1211 in the Pew Bible. Check me out. Make sure I'm giving you the Bible this morning and that we're staying true to God's Word. That's just diligence. You need to look in black and white and make sure that that we're preaching God's Word. Don't take my word for it. Look in your Bible. Okay, Galatians chapter number 2. You know, I've heard many Christians say to me through the years, "Pastor Nan, I just can't live the Christian life. I got saved and I came to the Lord, but man, I can't live the Christian life. I can't do all that stuff that a Christian's supposed to do." And maybe you have felt that way, or maybe you haven't verbalized it, but internally you have thought at different points in your life, "I just can't live the Christian life." Here's my response to that. You're exactly right. Boy, now you came to church to get encouragement. Boy, you really got it, didn't you? You are exactly right. You cannot live it. Can't live it. In fact, nobody can. Let's all be honest. There's only one person who fully, 100% of the time, can live the Christian life. Who's that? You got it. It's in your hand out there. It's Jesus. It's Christ. Only Christ can live the Christ life, that Christian life. You may be thinking, "Well, boy, that's great. I come to church and find out I can't live the Christian life. Only Jesus can." And you may be thinking, "Well, man, that's wonderful. Where does that leave me?" Actually, it leaves you in wonderful shape. Because in our text, it's going to explain why. Galatians chapter 2, let's read it, verse 19. "For I," Paul said, "I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Hey, if we are to have any hope of living the Christian life, this text that I just read must be opened up to us, and it must be revealed to us by God's Spirit. Now, I can get up here and I can talk this morning for 30, 40 minutes, an hour. Don't worry, I never go an hour, so you don't have to worry. But my point is, I could do that. I could get up here and talk all afternoon. But if you don't apply your heart and have a readiness of mind to receive the Word of God, it doesn't matter if I'm filled with the Spirit as I preach. You've got to be filled with the Spirit as you listen. And if you're going to understand this text, then God's got to open it up to you and God's got to show it to you. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a vessel, a tool that God can use in your life. But it's the Bible, it's God that's going to have to be real to you this morning. This is one of the most important texts in the whole Bible for you to understand. And as you know, many of you on Wednesday nights, we've been going through Galatians verse by verse. We take a verse, explain it. Take a verse, explain it. And man, that's how you learn the Bible. And I encourage you to come out from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights. And man, we have a church full of people that come to study God's Word. We give you handouts and we learn the Bible. Well, we've been through Galatians 2. In fact, we're almost done with chapter 3. And as we've been going through it, we hit this thing in Galatians. And some of this, if you were in Galatians, may be review, which is great because that's how you learn, is by repetition. But it's so crucial that you need to hear it again, or if you haven't been in Galatians, you desperately need to understand this text. From this text, there are three key statements that we can derive, okay? And I want to give them to you. Number one in your handout is this. The first key statement: God's law cannot help you live the Christian life, okay? God's law cannot help you live the Christian life. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do. Take your bookmarker, leave it in Galatians 2, because we're going to go right back. And I want you to go to the front of your Bible. If you got a pew Bible, go to the very front. And I actually want you to go before the first book of the Bible, Genesis, to the table of contents. And I want to show you something here. I said that God's law cannot help you live the Christian life. What's God's law? Look in your table of contents. The first books listed are called the books of the what testament? The Old Testament, the Old Covenant that God made with Israel. Then, as you move on through, then you have the books of the what? New Testament. Now, go back to the Old Testament and look. You got the first book of the Bible, Genesis, which is a historical book, okay? But then you come to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In those books, God gave what He called the law. You see, before those books were written, there was no written Word of God. Every single person on the earth had a moral law that God had put in their heart. In other words, even though that'll lead us astray sometimes, our conscience, everybody has a conscience, and you know, they know that certain things are right and wrong. Why? God put that in you. There's a moral law written on your heart. Well, that's all people had until God said, okay, I am going to reflect my righteousness and my holiness in writing. And so God gave the written law. And God gave that law through Moses to the nation of Israel. Okay? It'd kind of be like if I wrote a letter to my, I wrote, you know, 100 letters, and I wrote several to Denise, and I wrote several to my children, and I wrote one to Pastor Rich, and I wrote one to Dylan, and Brother Rob, and Brother Norm, and I wrote 100 letters, and then I died. You could take those letters, and those letters would kind of be a reflection of who I was. Well, God said, I want to reflect who I am. So God put in writing the law, which was a reflection of His righteousness and His holiness. Now, somebody may say this, and by the way, the law is called holy, just, and good in Romans 7:12. It's a reflection of God's goodness, His justness, His righteousness, His holiness. Somebody may say, well, you know what? I'm going to live the Christian life. Man, I just want to live the Christian life. So I'm going to memorize God's law, and I'm going to live by every command of the law. Have fun. There's over 600 of them. There's over 600 commands that reflected the righteousness of a holy God. If you could somehow manage to memorize all 600, you know what you'd find out? You would still break the Big Ten, which is part of the law, the Ten Commandments. You'd still find that you break those multiple times every day. You say, well, no, I live my life by the Ten Commandments. Oh, yeah? Number one, how many can you quote? Number two, maybe you need to go back and reread them again. Maybe it's been a while since you've read them. Because if you open up your Bible to the book of Exodus and read the Ten Commandments and get honest before God, you'll find that either in action or in spirit that you break those Ten Commandments every day, let alone the other 590. Okay, just those 10 we struggle with every single day. So if you think you're going to live the Christian life by memorizing all of God's law and then trying to live by it, you're sadly mistaken. But the good news is, God doesn't expect you to do that. Amen? Amen. Look at Galatians 2. Let's go back there. Okay, Galatians chapter 2, and let's look at it. Verse 19. He said, "For I, through the law, am," what's the next word? Dead. "I'm dead." Dead to what? "I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Now that's interesting. He says, according to verse 19, and it says in your handout, that the law leaves us spiritually dead. The law leaves us spiritually dead. Take your Bible and keep your bookmarker here and go to Romans. Go to your left a few books. You're going to go through 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then you'll find Romans. And I want you to go to Romans chapter 7. Okay, everybody turn there. Come on, let's do it. Let's let your fingers do the walking through the white pages of God's Word. Romans chapter 7, and look with me at verse number 7. Notice how the law leaves you dead. You say, I'm going to live my life by the law. No, you're not. It can't help you. You're dead. The Bible says you're dead to the law. Look at Romans 7, 7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the what? The law." He said, "For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." Skip down to verse 10. "And the commandment which was ordained to life. Remember, Brother Rob? The law is an expression of the righteousness of God. Hey, Brother Rob, if I could somehow keep that law in continuance my whole life, then I would have life. So the law that was ordained to life, there's one problem. Nobody's ever done it. Amen. Nobody's ever kept it in continuance. So look what it says. Verse 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto what? Death. Look at verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, the law, it deceived me, and by it, what did it do? Slew me. Here's why. Because when you compare yourself with the law, do you do well or do you come up short? Come up short. When you come up short, that's called what? Sin. And look at Romans 6:23. Go back to Romans 6:23. And this is important, okay? All of us have come up short of God's holy, righteous law. We've all broken it thousands of times. What's the price for that sin? What's the payment for that sin? Look at verse 23, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is what? Death. That's why the law is called the ministration of death in 2 Corinthians 3:7. Here's my point. And you can go back to Galatians, okay? Go back to Galatians chapter 2. Here's my point. It's in your handout. The law was given to show us our sinful condition so we will in turn flee to God's remedy, Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter number 3. Turn over there with me. Galatians 3. Go over to chapter 3, verse 24. Galatians 3, 24. We're going to be getting into this in our next Galatians Bible study. We're going to actually be in this passage. Look at it with me. Verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. That does not mean teacher, school teacher. I don't have time to explain what that word means this morning. We'll get into it in our Galatians series. But it says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto who? Christ, that we might be justified by, say it loud, faith. The law was our schoolmaster to drive us to Christ, to lead us to Christ, to bring us to Christ. You see, God, in your handout, it says God never meant for you to take the law and to try to live your Christian life by it. God never meant for you to take the law and then try to live your Christian life by it. And just to kind of give you an illustration of that, let's say, And I'm gonna use this, I think. I did this in an early service and kind of spontaneously. It worked out pretty good. In this service, it'll probably flop, but we're going to try it, okay? This cord represents the law. And Dylan, come help me a minute. Brother Rob, come help me a minute. This is the law. This right here, go down there, guys, because this right here, this where the cord ends, this represents, man, keeping the law in totality. I mean, you're keeping every command, okay? With me? All right. Brother Rob is the youth director at our church. And Brother Rob is trying to live his life by the rules. Man, he's trying to live by the law. And so he's done pretty good. You're not that good. Come back a little. All right. Right there. He's about right there. You know, so he's still a good ways away from keeping it. But he's keeping the rules pretty good. But now you got Dylan. Dylan's way back here. I mean, he just sins all the time and struggles and everything. And so here's Brother Rob and here's him. Now, you know what this leads to? He's trying to live his life by the rules. He's trying to live by the law. You know what that leads to in his life? Frustration. Just total frustration. Because he looks at like Brother Rob. And man, he looks at him and he's so frustrated. Yeah, you gotta do this. Yeah, oh man. Yeah. It's like, man, why can't I be like him? Man, he reads his Bible every day, and man, I do good to read it once a week. Man, he prays an hour a day, and I do good to pray over my food, right? Yeah. And he thinks, man, if I just wish, man, I'm so frustrated. I just can't keep the rules like Brother Rob. So, man, it sure isn't working for him. But you say, well, it's working for Rob. Oh, no. Because, you see, you know what it does to Brother Rob? He's keeping the rules, and he looks back at Dylan. That's it. Yeah. And you know what you do? you kind of get puffed up. Yeah, maybe one day he'll be able to keep the rules like me. See, he keeps the rules better than him. So what it does is it leads to him getting all puffed up and all full of himself and full of pride. Why? Because he's trying to live by the rules and he's doing better than him. See, so it puts him on this pride. He's frustrated. He's arrogant with pride. You see, God never intended for either one of them to try to live their Christian life by the law, by the church-made rules, by any kind of man-made rules. God never intended them to try to live their life by this set of rules or laws. God never intended that. Thanks, guys. Y'all did great. Now, this is why so many of you are frustrated. You've got in your mind the list of what a good Christian does, and you're trying your hardest to live by that list. Man, I mean, you're trying hard to live by the list. Let me make it clear. The Christian life is not keeping a list of rules and laws. Look at it again, Galatians 2:19. Let's look at it again until it sinks in. It says, verse 19, Galatians 2. Go back to chapter 2 again. Chapter 2, verse 19. For I, through the law, am what? Dead to the law. Say, dead to the law. Oh, let's do it again. Dead to the law. Dead to the law. We are dead to the law. The law cannot help you live the Christian life. If you could live the Christian life by keeping the law, and if you could somehow achieve righteousness on your own by keeping the rules, look at what verse 21 says. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, if I can achieve righteousness through me, through keeping the rules, then Christ is what, church? He's dead in vain. Why do we need Jesus if the law can somehow make us righteous? If I can get righteous by keeping the rules, then why do I need Jesus? But the second key statement I want you to get is this. Not only can the law not help you, but number two, you're crucified with Christ. Now, nothing could be clearer than verse 20. Let's look at it. Okay, verse 20. And let's all say that first phrase. Verse 20. You ready? You got that written in? You're ready to go. Okay, verse 20. Let's all say it together. Just the first phrase. I am crucified with Christ. Did you see that? I am crucified with Christ. Let's say it again. I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? I mean, it's clear. I understand it. But then on the other hand, maybe you're sitting here thinking, I understand the words, but I don't understand what it means. Here's what it means. The moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, the moment you opened up your heart and you received Him, you turned from your sin and you turned to Jesus to save you from your sin. The moment you believed and you were saved, the Bible teaches that you became one with Christ. I'm going to put a verse on the screen, Ephesians 5:30. It says, "For we," that's those of us who have believed, "we are members of His body," that's Christ, the His is Christ, "we are members of Christ's body, of His flesh, and of His," what? His bones. We have been made one with Christ. You know what that means? That means that our history and our experience are now wrapped up in His. Stay with me now. Because I am in Christ, God sees me dying with Him on the cross. I am crucified with Christ. I died in Him on that cross. Let me give you an illustration that might clear it up. I've got three sons. And I told this illustration about a month ago on Wednesday night. I've got three sons, okay? 16, 9, and 7. Now, my three boys, I told them in church that when I was a little boy, I was out playing on a street kind of like Big Tree Road, and a van hit me. It just ran into me. And I said, to this day, the only way to explain why it didn't kill me is just God. It was unbelievable. I did not die. I still can't figure it out. I mean, I hopped up off the ground after the van hit me. The guy came out, "Oh, son, are you okay?" I went, "Yeah, I'm fine. See ya." And I went running off. I don't understand, but here's the thing. Had that van struck me and killed me that day, my three sons would have died in me, so to speak. There's no way they could have life because their life's wrapped up in mine. They're a product of my seed. They would have died in me. My history would have been their history, so to speak, because they were still in me. You see, the moment that I trusted Jesus as my Savior, I was placed in Christ. The old Dan Proctor was put to death, crucified, and buried with Jesus Christ. I want you to look in your handout with me at a verse there. And I don't know what I did with mine. Here it is. Look at it. Romans 6:6 in your handout. Knowing this. Now when God says knowing this, you need to pay attention. He's saying this is a fact. Knowing this, that our old man, that's the old Dan Proctor, the old Rob Hall, the old Dylan, the old man, our old man is, this is a statement of fact. It's not something you're trying to do. It's something that's done. It is what? It's crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, wait a minute. If the old Dan Proctor is crucified with Christ, dead and buried, then what in the world does that mean to us? Here's what it means in your handout. Here's what it means. It means that you can't live the Christian life by exercising your power and strength. Why? Because a dead man has no life, no power, no strength. He said, I am crucified with Christ. My life ended at the cross in him. Dan Proctor, that old Dan Proctor, in his sin and wickedness, is dead with him. Christ's history is my history because I've been spiritually placed in him. And now I am crucified with him. You know what that means? I can't live the Christian life by Dan Proctor's strength and power. Why? I'm crucified. A dead man has no power and strength. Go down to the funeral home. Those who are awaiting to be buried or cremated, guess what? You won't find any of them reading their Bible. You won't find any of them praying. You won't find any of them lifting weights. You won't find any of them jogging 3 miles. You won't find any of them giving anything to the church. No, why? They're dead. A dead man has no power, no life, no strength to do any good deeds, to do anything. That's us. We're crucified with Christ. We're dead. We are dead and buried with Christ. Miss Anita said, praise the Lord. You can say it louder. That's okay. Woo, glory. I am dead and buried with him. You say, well, wait a minute. Well, if I'm dead and buried, that means I can't do anything for him. Oh, wait a minute. The story doesn't end there. In your handout, it says, the third statement, key statement, the life of Christ now lives in you. Amen. Did Jesus stay dead? Is he still on the cross? Is he still in the tomb? No, he is alive. And that's why Paul said, look at verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I what? I live. You say, wait a minute. He's dead, but now he says he's living? Remember, we're in Christ. Our experience is now wrapped up in his. If Jesus stayed dead, and if Jesus stayed buried, then I'm still dead, and I'm still buried, because I'm in him. But then he says, nevertheless I live, but now look at it. Look at verse 20. Yet not I. He says, I'm alive, but it's not my life. My life ended at the cross. He said, it's yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. My sinful life was put to death in Christ on the cross, but I'm risen with him. And the resurrection life of Jesus now lives in this fleshly body. And that's why he says, yet not I. It's not the old Paul. He's dead. He says, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Christian, do you see the impact of this stuff? the impact is this, and it's in your handout. This means the only life that you possess now is the life of Christ within you. You have no life. Did you get that? You have no life apart from Christ. Amen. By the way, if you're unsaved and you don't know the Lord yet as your Savior, you have no spiritual life at all. None, zilch, zero. The Bible describes you as being dead in your sins. And if you die in that condition, Jesus said you will die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, you suffer the punishment for your sin. The wages of sin is death. You have eternal death and separation from God in hell. That's the penalty for sin. Sin is a very serious offense against a holy God. And your sin, if you die in your sin, it will take you to hell. My friend, listen to me. If you're not saved, you have... Say up here, listen. Listen. If you have never been saved, you're still in your sins. But Christian, if Christian, you're saved. You know the Lord. You know what that means? Christ lives in you. And here's what it means in your handout. Christ wants to live His life through you. What did I say? I said that if you're saved, Christ lives where? In you. He's in us. But wait a minute. He's in there. But wait, we've got the life of Christ. The old Dan Proctor's dead and buried. I've got no life and strength. The only life I have now is the resurrection life of Christ that lives in me. And you know what? That life of Christ that's in me wants to live through me. I gave Brother Tony Foster a DVD from 1998. Tony and Cindy Foster were our youth directors then. They took our kids out to a camp about an hour from here in January. It was freezing. They were camping out in tents and stuff. And Clayton is on that video. Clayton's a little baby. He's nine now. He's a little baby. Brother Tony Foster has a full head of black hair. It's all wavy. And Miss Cindy's got hair down her back. I gave them that DVD to watch. Well, they said they put it in their computer, but nothing would come through. Wouldn't come through. It was all right on there. I know it was on there because I tested it. In fact, I brought it to my office. I said, "Well, let me try it on my computer." I didn't use my computer to do it. So if it plays on my computer, then yours should recognize it. It came through. But then when they put it in theirs, they put the DVD in the computer, but yet the life that was on that DVD disc did not come through. And that's like a lot of Christians. That DVD is like Christ in you. It's in the computer. You're the computer. Christ is in you. That DVD of Christ and all that He is, it's in you. But many times, Christ is not living through us. Because we're trying to do it on our own. We're trying to live by the rules. We're trying to keep the rules. We're trying to keep the laws. And you know what? We're not depending on the life of Christ. In your handout, it says there, as you depend on Christ in every situation. Do you see that? As you depend, I'm talking about at work Monday. I'm talking about when you're at church. I'm talking about with your wife, with your kids. I'm talking about at school, at college, wherever you are, whatever you do, as you out on the football field, you know, wherever it is. I'm serious. Whatever you do, as you depend on Christ in every situation, He lives the Christian life through you. In 2 Corinthians 4:10, it's in your handout. It sums it up beautifully. Paul said, now look at this, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In other words, Paul constantly recognized he had no power or strength, that he was dead. Now look what it says, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know what that's saying, church? As we recognize our death with Christ on that cross, We see the futility of our strength. We see the futility of our power. We see the futility of us trying to do it. And we just cry out to Him, Jesus, I'm resting in You. I'm depending on You. I'm abiding. Remember what we talked about last week? Jesus constantly was focused on the Father and what the Father could do through Him. And He said, that's the way you're going to relate to Me. You're going to abide in Me. And as you trust Me and as you abide in Me and depend on Me, He said, then I'm going to live My life through you. He said, but without Me, you can do what? Nothing. And Paul said, when we see the death of our body, he said, then the life of Christ within us is made manifest in these mortal bodies. Now do you see what I meant at the beginning of the message? I said, you can't live the Christian life. In your handout, it says in the box, it says, you can't live the Christian life. Why? Well, you're dead. Spiritually, you're dead. You've been crucified with Christ, Christian. You can't live it, but Christ can live it, and He lives within you. Glory. So you know what that means? Look up here. That means that you don't have to worry about keeping a list of rules. You don't have to worry about meeting the expectations of others. Brother Rob, you don't have to worry about meeting my expectations. And you don't have to worry about meeting the expectations of this one and that one. And you don't have to try to, you know, somehow muster up and work up the willpower to do right. Man, I live my whole life that way. I'm going to try to do right. You know what that means? You don't have to do that anymore. It's no longer you trying to muster up the willpower to keep the rules of the youth group, keep the rules of the church, keep the rules of my parents, keep the rules of this one, keep the rules of that, keep the law. It's no longer about that. As you look in faith to Christ, you just depend on Him. Let's bring that up on the screen. As you look in faith to Christ, He lives His victorious life through you. The Christian life is simply living the Christ life. Look at Galatians 2, okay? I want you to look at it again. I really want you to get this, okay? Look at verse 19, Galatians 2:19. For I through the law am what? Question, can the law help you live the Christian life? Yes or no?
No?
Cannot. But then verse 20 teaches us what? That the old Dan Proctor, that who I was, I am what? Crucified with Christ. I'm dead. But then it says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but now who lives in me now? The life of Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. My friend, it's all about Jesus. It's you want to know what living the Christian life is? It's living the Christ life. It's letting Christ and His life live through you. Let's go to God in prayer this morning. Hopefully the light clicked on. If the light doesn't click on, you won't get it. But hopefully for many, that light just clicked on. The Holy Spirit revealed this to you. You've been trying to live up to this and that. You've been trying to have the willpower to live the Christian life. Hey, no, it's all about Christ in you. Every day you look in faith to Him. You trust Him. You abide in Him. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you may be